Here I am, Monday, July 2nd, 2018, in my closet doing this shit. Let's make one thing clear. This isn't a podcast. I'm sorry, guys. It's a story. A crazy fucking story. I say that because while other podcasts are trying to better themselves, better others, better the world, I don't have that goal. But I'm a... Well, I'm a narcissist. Gotta sound like such an asshole when I say it like that. I named this pod Swallowing Gum because, well, it was fucking catchy. That's why I fucking named it that. But also because I'm 14. I see a therapist every Thursday at 5 p.m. I've been through some shit, and now I'm seeing that I'm a person. My views are parting from my parents. My opinions now have logic and reason. When you swallow gum, your body can't digest it. It stays there. It sticks. While growing up, you're fed what your parents believe, what they were taught, what they grew up with. And even if you don't agree, even if your body can't produce the toxins to break down the information they're giving you, you take it. And it sticks. No. Not me. Never me. I'll examine the gum I swallowed and I'll see what I believe and what they taught me. So yeah, it's not a podcast. It's a story. A crazy fucking story. Day one of the examination. Church. What are my views on church? Can I even have views on church this young? I mean, I don't think I can. I'm going to talk about it anyway because I fucking want to, and this is my podcast, but I don't think anyone can have a definitive answer about anything. You're just figuring everything out. But with church, I've got mixed reviews from both sides of my family. My mom is an atheist. She doesn't believe in God or anything, really. But despite that, she is very respectful of my father and his religion. He is Christian, along with my stepmother, and we pray at the table when we have Bibles sprawled across our house. But I digress. My views on church are complicated because what people taught me about church was complicated. God, Jesus, Mary, it's all jumbled. And I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out sooner or later. I lived with my aunt for 3 years in Virginia, a short period of time. That's a fucking lie. It was very long and I was miserable, but she told us that church was, well, not always the best. You shouldn't have to be inside of a building to serve God to pray. And you shouldn't be judged if you didn't go to that building. And the Catholicism, or Catholic, I should say, religion, if you miss a day at church, it's considered a sin. And you should repent for it. It's pretty much considered a sin in most Christian beliefs, where there's Jesus and God, you have to go to church. That's how you're raised. But we kind of steered away from that when I lived with my aunt. Then I came home and there was my father. He was a very strong believer in church. Go to church every week. He plays piano there. My stepmother sings. They're very present in the community there. Makes sense, they're like a perfect married couple, but what I want to know is why? Church sucks. I'm sorry, I don't know what churches you've guys been going to, but all of the church I've been to sucked. Church sucks. I'm not gonna lie, I hated it. And I still do have great disdain for that social construct of a building. You dress in clothes that aren't comfy, and you sit in chairs that aren't comfy, and you listen to people talk. Now, this is not a bashing of the Christian religion in any way. It's not that I don't like the message that church is giving, that you should be praying to the God you believe in every day and should be a good person. That's essentially what church is, or what church should be. That's not my problem. My problem is what church has become. I have been to a few churches that I quite liked very much, where people could just show up in sweatpants and a t-shirt, and there was food, and not that you need all those things to be a good church, but that church had people in it. You talked, and the preacher wasn't preaching, he was talking, and it was beautiful. The building was small, but everyone was happy. It wasn't like school. It wasn't a process. It wasn't emotionally draining. Why do you think people are so stressed on Sundays when you have to go to church or Bible study? Because you have to put on a face. You have to go out in public. And I've been to churches where that's just not the case, and it's really beautiful. But so many churches are just, ugh, they're pieces of shit. I'm sorry. My grandmother's church, for instance. My grandmother is a great woman, has great people as friends. Of course, they're pretty old and have candy in their pockets, but it's okay. It's okay. Their church was literally 12 hours. It started at 12 a.m. and ended at 12 at night. Yep, that's how long it was. And you couldn't move. You had to sit in that chair and you had to listen. You couldn't draw. The kids didn't go into a separate room. Everyone was sitting there. It was so constructed that men and women were sitting on different sides of the building. No, I'm serious. Like, they were literally sitting on different sides. And it was so long that we had to go home for a half an hour for a lunch break. Your church should never have a lunch break. I don't care how long it is. No lunch breaks. If it has a lunch break, it's too fucking long. Well, I want to hear you guys' opinion. What do you think of church? What was your church experience like? This could just be my experience with church. I mean, people all around love church and quite like the whole, I don't know what they like about church, but you guys can tell me. I really do want to know. I am young, you know, I'm young. I'm not Einstein or anything. But here's my question. What about church don't you like? What about church would you change? What would I change about church? I would change the fact that you have to go to a building. Can't we just Skype each other or something? I mean, why? I love things like where... Let me back up a bit. I like when people are together with the same goal. It's why sports and dance and music and art is so loved, because when you're in a room with people with the same mindset as you, as the same goals as you, it's beautiful knowing that you're in a group. People crave physical interaction, and knowing people like the same thing you do is just wonderful. But what I don't understand about church is it's not at the point anymore where everyone's liking the same thing. It's at the point where everyone's going for the same reasons, but aren't there for the same reasons. The preacher's trying to collect money. The people are trying to just get through the day, trying to be inspired, trying to feel better about themselves because they went to church. But that's not what church is supposed to be. So if I ruled a church, first off, I think a lot of churches' constructs are sexist. I think a lot of the Bible is sexist, but we will get into that on a different date. What I would fix about church is I'd tell people to come in a pair of jeans and a shirt. Bring your kids, bring your mistresses, bring whoever you're ashamed of. I don't care. Just bring someone you know and talk. There won't be a preacher. There won't be Bibles. There will just be people talking about themselves and trying to figure it out. And yes, we'll talk about God and we'll talk about everything. And I don't think church should be limited to one religion either, which makes no sense. I know, hearing it out loud, why would church include different religions other than your own? It defeats the purpose of church. But at fundamental basics, church is just a congregation of good people, and I think we could do that if we tried. Let's see. If I wanted to be a different person who loved church and went every day and put on makeup and wore a pretty dress, I could be that person, but I wouldn't be happy. And I think that's the problem with church. I want everyone to feel like themselves. And a lot of churches talk about forgiveness, right? God is forgiveness. Jesus is forgiveness. He will forgive you if you repent, if you are truly sorry for your sins, and you can have a better life, which is a very, very good ideal to have, that possibility of forgiveness. But I don't understand is why you're persecuted if you do sin. They make it seem like you're the bad guy, and that if you don't repent, you're the bad guy, but that's just not true. If I made a church, I would have people of all kinds, gay people, straight people, asexual people, I don't care what type of person you are, straight, Muslim, whatever you are, you just come to the church. And no, we wouldn't be the church based on a religion, but we would be a congregation based on love and faith in general. Why is everyone in boxes? I mean, the labels are important in their own right, but yes, religion breeds hatred, in my opinion. So many religions hate other religions because that's what they were raised to do. And I think that if we tried hard enough, we could fix that. And yeah, that's it for that one. I don't really know what I was planning on talking about for this. I am rambling, aren't I? But yeah, just if you can, just comment and see. Message me. I want to know your opinion on things. Ask me questions. I love answering questions. Now, what should I talk about for day two of this podcast? Who knows? I think a lot of us follow religion blindly. And I don't think it's anyone's fault. It's in basic human nature to love your parents. You are raised the way your parents most likely were raised. They teach you what they believe. It makes perfect sense. That's not what I'm saying. But I feel like with religion, people don't get the chance to think it over, to think about what they're following. Let's just use Christianity, for instance, not bashing the religion in any way. Let's just take a look at it. While growing up, you were read Bible stories. You were taught that God is good, devil is bad, yada, yada, yada. Don't sin, don't lie, don't murder. Yep, that's what you were taught. And you were taught these things because your parents have the same morals and they pass them on to you. That's just basic human nature, which I don't have a problem with. But did you ever stop to think, okay, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to read the Bible through, and I'm going to see if I agree with all of the beliefs of this religion? No, you didn't. You went to church because that's what people did. You believed in God because that's what people did. And even if, because you were raised that way, you truly did believe in God. Most people do really believe in God because their parents do. Because you trust your parents. You believe they would never hurt you. So you believe in God, which makes perfect sense. It's in human nature, which is not my problem. But have you ever stopped to think about it? I'm 14 and as I'm looking through this like this, I'm learning all of these things that I would have never have known, that no one was going to tell me. No one was even thinking about telling me. And I've been living my life blindly following this religion. And I'm not saying I'm trying to leave this religion. I'm just saying I want the truth about it. I'm not going to follow something blindly and not even understand it. For instance, I got tongue-tied. For instance, I found a bunch of sexist scriptures in the Bible. I'm a very feministic person. I believe in equality, and it's a great passion of mine. I love arguing with people about it all the time. It's a hobby. But I found a lot of sexist scriptures in the Bible. My father gave me a handheld Bible for like my birthday or something a few months ago. And reading this, it was shocking. It was shocking what I found. I wish that I could explain to you how much I cried while reading this. And I went and I told my friends and I showed them these scriptures. And they were shocked too. They had never seen them before. Never seen them before. And that just goes to show how messed up it was, that they would have went their entire lives believing in God and not knowing that. And I'm not saying you can't read those scriptures and still believe in God, still think it's right, still think it's okay. That's completely fine. But you should be able to make that decision with all of the facts laid out, with everything in front of you. People are being raised as Christian, living their lives as Christian without thinking about it, without taking the time, and they just pass it on to their children, and their children pass it on to their grandchildren, and it continues without anyone looking. I'm showing my dad these scriptures and he's shocked, but he has his own rebuttals and views on things. So it all, he keeps telling me it's perspective. It's perspective, Trinity. You can't look up something and they're going to show you what you looked up, which makes sense. You're supposed to go through the Bible. You can't look it up online, because the online is going to show you what you want to see. If you look up why God is evil online, of course they're going to show you a bunch of things about why God is evil. But what I think is that's just not true, because yes, it's perspective, but either way, those scriptures are there and they're blatantly sexist. So yeah, here's an example. Let me just show you what I'm talking about here. All right, so here are the scriptures that I am confused about. Please message me, comment down below, do whatever you have to do if you disagree or have an answer for my questions about these scriptures. I have a nice Bible in front of me. Let's see what type of Bible it is. It is a Good News Bible with, wow, those are a lot of big words. Deuteronomy's Apocrypha. I don't know what that means, but you know, you can comment that down below too. Let's go in chronological order, shall we? So, let's start with the first one. Let's see. Leviticus 12:1-8. Let's see, Leviticus 12. Wait a minute. No, I'm sorry, guys. It's Exodus 21:7-11. While I was way off. 7-11. If a man sells his daughter as a slave, she is not to be set free as male slaves are. If she is sold to someone who intends to make her his wife, but he does not like her, then she is to be sold back to her father. Her master cannot sell her to foreigners because he has treated her unfairly. If a man buys a female slave to give to his son, he is to treat her like a daughter. If a man takes a second wife, he must continue to give his first wife the same amount of food and clothing and the same rights as she had before. Wow. Okay. Let's just examine this particular scripture because I did reach through it a little quickly. If a man sells his daughter as a slave, she is not to be set free as male slaves are. Okay, first off, there is no punishment or even scolding for a man selling his child, but you know that child has a vagina, so of course it wouldn't matter if she was sold as a piece of property. Of course it doesn't. Okay, well, if they're not to be set free like male slaves are, if she is sold to someone who intends to make her his wife, so you can literally sell your daughter for money to the highest bidder, and she'll get married to someone. That's interesting. Oh, if a man buys a female slave to give to his son, oh my god. Okay. Alright, we're just moving. Let's move on, shall we? So now let's go to Leviticus 12:1-8. Oh god. Leviticus 12:1-8. I'm sorry, guys, this is taking a while. Okay. For 7 days after a woman gives birth to a son, she is ritually unclean as she is during her monthly period. I haven't even gotten to that period scripture, guys. I'm going to show you guys later. On the 8th day, the child shall become circumcised. Then it will be 30 days, yada, yada, yada. That's not what I want to talk to you. She is ritually unclean from her loss of blood. She must not touch anything that is holy or enter the sacred tent until time of purification is completed. All right, normal after birth, you're unclean for some reason, even though you literally just created life inside of your body in less than a full year, you know, you're unclean apparently. I don't know why, but that's not my problem with the scripture. For 14 days after a woman gives birth to a daughter, she is ritually unclean as she is during her monthly period. Then it will be 60 more days until she is ritually clean from her loss of blood. Now, I know it was a bit choppy on that one, but basically what was said here is when a woman gives birth to a son, it is she is more unclean when she gives birth to a daughter than a son. And then the title of chapter 12 is The Purification of Woman After Childbirth. Alright, we're moving on. I'm sorry guys, that one was a bit choppy. We're moving on to Leviticus 15:19-30. Let's see. When a woman has her monthly period, she remains unclean for 7 days. Anyone who touches her is unclean until evening. Anything on which she sits or lies during her monthly period is unclean. Oh, God. If a woman has a flow of blood for several days outside her monthly period, or if her flow continues beyond her regular period, she remains unclean as long as the flow continues, just as she is during her monthly period. So, maybe one of you guys can clarify, why are women unclean during the period? Okay, so I get that because of the whole Adam and Eve thing, women were punished of the pain of childbirth. Alright, so the way my father explained it to me, it is not God's fault that there's sexism. It's a sinful world that created sexism.
Okay, well, this looks a lot like something he wrote or made one of his disciples write, the Bible, you know? And it also seems like, well, that seems like blatant sexism. It seems like a woman is unclean on something he gave us. This is her period. Eve was capable of giving children before she ate the apple, which means she still had her period. Why would we be dirty on something you gave to us before we started to sin? That makes no fucking sense. We're moving on, guys. We're moving on. It's okay. Let's see. Leviticus 21:9. If a priest's daughter becomes a prostitute, she disgraces her father and shall be burned to death. Okay. This is a little confusing because I thought priests weren't allowed to get married and were supposed to stay chaste. But you know, God has very different views on male chastity and virginity because apparently that doesn't matter. It only matters when the girl is pure because, you know, we're less than a piece of shit. Now, if a priest's daughter becomes a prostitute, she disgraces her father, she shall be burned to death. Alright, well. Didn't he just say that he could sell her as a slave? I mean, at least she make it home money. At least she make it. What about the sons? There are such thing as male prostitutes. You do know that, right? Alright, well, okay. Oh, we're moving on. I can't even. You guys reading this with me? Well, of course you guys are fucking reading this with me, but... Alright, let's see. Deuteronomy 20:13-15. Wait a minute. Sorry, guys. No. Deuteronomy 22:13-22. Suppose a man marries a young woman and later he decides he doesn't want her. So he makes up false charges against her, accusing her of not being a virgin when they got married. Okay, so this is a bit of a story. If a man accused a woman when he marries her because he doesn't want anymore, because the fact that they had to make a rule for this means that men just decided they didn't want their wives anymore so much that there had to be a rule about it, guys. You know, a rule. That's okay. So if a man doesn't want to marries his wife and doesn't want her anymore and throws her away like a piece of trash, and he claims that she wasn't a virgin, so he didn't want her anymore, because, you know, of course a whole marriage would end because of something like that, you know, because virginity, no, correction, I'm sorry guys, I keep messing up, female virginity was valued so much that even if you were in love with a woman, you had to divorce her after. That was like a real deal breaker, guys. Ah, real deal breaker. Okay, if this happens, the young woman's parents are to take the blood-stained wedding sheet. Why would you keep your bed sheets from where you lost your virginity? Okay, so yada yada yada. Basically, the parents prove that she, in fact, was a virgin because that's all that matters, not the fact that their daughter is married to someone who is such an asshole that he lied just to get rid of her, and now she's with someone who doesn't want her. That's not what matters. It matters that she gets justice, you know? Justice by staying with a man who doesn't love her and thinks she's a piece of shit. Yep. Then the town's leaders are to take the husband and beat him. They are also to find him 500 pieces of silver and give the money to the young woman's father, because the man has brought disgrace on the Israelite women. Moreover, she will continue to be his wife and can never divorce her as long as he lives. You're not hearing this right. So, let me understand this. The husband is to be beaten. That's understandable, you fucking liar. But he has to pay the father, not even the family, the father, 100 pieces of silver because he brought disgrace on the woman. God, guys, this is enough to make someone cry. God, we're moving on, guys. We're moving on. Deuteronomy 22:28. Okay, this one's about rape, guys. Suppose a man is caught raping a young woman who is not engaged. He is to pay her father, the bride, of 50 pieces of silver. If she is to become his wife because he forced her to have intercourse with him, he can never divorce her as long as he lives. So, let me understand this. You're going to make... A man can rape a woman and get off by paying the father and then marrying her. She has to marry her rapist. She has to marry the man who held her down while she was screaming for him to stop and forced himself inside of her. Okay. Makes total sense. I know that this episode was about church, guys. I know it was about church, you know? But when I'm reading scriptures like this, it makes me question the entire religion, you know? So, where is, you know what, I can't even find it. That, sorry guys. So, day one of examination. Scratch, church, put, religion, in general. A lot of religions are sexist. I've yet to discover a religion that's not sexist. That's not true. I discovered Wicca a few years ago, but over 80% of religions are sexist in some way, shape, or form. But my thing is, that was, God, what I read was such bullshit. Day one of examination, religions in general. The gum I swallowed was poisonous. I will regurgitate it and I will throw it away. Put the gum in the trash. Yup, put the gum in the trash. Of examination, church, religion, life, me. The gum I swallowed was piss flavored. I've been swallowing it since I was a baby. And throw it away. Throw it in the fucking trash. It was all trash. My opinion at the end, I'm questioning my religion. And I have been for a few months now. Join me next time where I examine more gum I've swallowed. That was a story. A crazy fucking story.